Welcome to Earth Eats, a weekly program of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan. Chef Daniel Orr is a Columbus, Indiana native and a world-renowned chef. On this episode, he talks about water buffalo.
My big city friends know I love the good life. They say I'd only last about a month out here in the Midwest without my creature comforts like fresh buffalo mozzarella imported from Italy. How wrong they were, though. Within months of moving back to Indiana, I met Jeff Meese, and I was reassured that not only would my favorite melt-on-my-tongue cheese be available, but it wouldn't even need a passport. American bison and the water buffalo are completely different animals. It's thought that early explorers who came to our shores saw a bison, and because they thought they were in India, they called them buffalo. Both are striking beasts, the bison looking much more prehistoric than the more bovine-like water buffalo. Water buffalo vary in color from a creamy vanilla to dark chocolate to café crème. The nautilus-like horns are one of nature's natural sculptures. Jeff is one of the very few raising water buffalo in America. I love his combination of eclectic interests, entrepreneurship, and energy. On this snowy, wintry day, I'm visiting Jeff on his farm with his new herd.
Jeff Meese is the founder of a number of restaurants in Bloomington, Indiana, and he's the owner and CFO of One World Enterprises. Jeff is also a farmer with 69 acres of land 3 miles just outside of town. He's interested in sustainability, the slow food movement, and, of course, his herd of water buffalo.
Believe it or not, I got the idea for these buffalo through no other place than I think it was a little Sunday story in the Herald Times talking about this California company that was making buffalo mozzarella, and how I'd heard of mozzarella di bufala for a long time, but, you know, sometimes, you know, in hindsight, your mind doesn't... It's like, why didn't I ever wonder what that was? You know, what was the story with that? I read that short little blurb and it just lit me up. I'm like, that is such a cool thing to do. I love this sort of artesian nature of the whole thing. And since my background, you know, for the last 25 years of my life has been in pizza, and the whole, you know, lots of mozzarella cheese. So that kind of, I'm like, boy, that I've, you know, I've have close ties with mozzarella cheese and I like it.
What makes the mozzarella from the water buffalo different from, you know, if they did the same process with goats or cows or sheep?
Okay. Well, you got to understand that I'm not a cheese maker yet. but what I understand from asking that question to people is that, number one, water buffalo milk is much higher in butterfat. So you've got that heavy fat creaminess to it. I'm told that the fat globule is just, it's different. Mm-hmm. And so you can't, even if you took butterfat out of cow's milk and added it back in, you couldn't make the same kind of thing. Also, water buffalo apparently process the beta carotene differently than cows, and so their milk is much whiter, and so mozzarella di bufala is a very, very white cheese.
When I was working and living in New York, we'd always go down to Little Italy, where they made the mozzarella with cow's milk.
Okay.
And what I found so interesting about it is that it's a very fresh product. It's not aged. They stretch these globules out and it's ready to go right away, and it's kind of the fresher the mozzarella, the better.
And the Italians don't refrigerate it,
and the whole amount of salt that's put in it also probably makes a big difference. I know with goat cheese it does, and most likely with the mozzarella. I know that when I'm serving it at a restaurant, usually I put some coarse sea salt sprinkled on top, and, you know, kind of to accentuate that freshness and that real creamy milkiness.
Yeah, and what kind of salt is used, I think, is probably, I've certainly later in life come to realize how much different there is in salts.
Now, this is kind of your second foray into animal husbandry. You had the pigs this summer.
I was told by the guy I got these water buffalo from that as part of a species stacking, which is something you really want to do in sustainable agriculture, be able to get, you know, one species following another that can use their waste. And I'm told that pigs love manure. You know, they eat dirt. So they can follow the mm-hmm. water buffalo as we get this spring. We'll start a rotational grazing plan, and I want to use some pigs behind them to see how that works.
Now, I know you're really, you know, passionate about sustainability and part of the slow foods movement and several other movements around. How do you see the water buffalo fitting into all that? And with your other projects, with your restaurants and pizzerias, are you able to use some of the spent grains from the brewery and from some of the scraps with the water buffaloes?
For as long as I can remember, I've been really turned on by just not wasting things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I feel like I've always been sort of just on a journey toward my own happiness, and the sustainability really rings for me, and the water buffalo, you know, fit right in there because I became intrigued and just like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, around the world, the buffalo is an old breed. You know, it's been a friend of man in a lot of poor places around the globe. They've been considered the friend of the peasant because they survive on such low grade feed. You know, where places where the people barely have enough to eat or don't have enough to eat, you know, what do you feed the animals? And so, like, I've been trying to make the buffalo down there a bed out of straw, but they keep eating it. They eat all the darn straw. So and they seem to prefer the straw to the hay.
So do you want to, can we walk down?
We can. I'll give a couple cautions about them. They're funny with new people, which probably I don't think they'll be aggressive with you, but they you know, what the buffalo does when it's going to get aggressive is it puts its head down, like looks at the ground, so the horns are about that high. So if that happens, best to just, you know, don't turn tail and run. Make yourself big and stomp, you know. Okay, so it's not that easy to do with a big, you know, 1,000-pound animal, I realize, but.
Well, the water buffalo are bigger than I expected. I expected them to be a little skinnier. I guess I'm also intrigued by the different colors of their coats. The one he calls Nella is kind of a dirty vanilla with vanilla seeds sprinkled on its skin. You've got a nice chocolatey one over there, number 5. And then Myrtle's a big black girl, and she's got the cutest horns, I think. So they really are each very individual and
no mas.
Quite fun to look at and to see out here in the snow.
This is, and let me tell you a little bit about this herd. Myrtle and the big white one, and Myrtle's little orange daughter, Ginger. Come on, Myrtle. Come on. Let's get a bagel. Come on, girl. Myrtle. So they came from one herd, and they were quite tame, hand-fed, all that. The other ones were kind of range animals. One is just won't even come near me still. A couple of them sort of seem like they're ready to take me out, and the rest are in varying stages of that. Come on, sweetie, come on.
Now, with I always think of water buffalo coming from India and kind of warmer areas.
Yeah.
How do they do out here in the snow? We're standing out here in a kind of a post blizzardy day with you know, 15 inches of snow. How are they dealing with it, and do they enjoy the cold weather?
Well, they haven't been able to tell me how much they like it. There are several water buffalo farms in Canada now. The only two that exist in the U.S. is up in Vermont. So they seem to do fine. They're very adaptable. It's a very hardy animal.
It's all right. And when I've been to, let's say, Trader's Point and other dairies around central and southern Indiana, the cows actually crave to be milked and kind of even know what time of day that they're going to be milked. Are the water buffalo the same way?
Yes. Then that was something I was fascinated with, too, I always wondered, you know, you got to milk these things twice a day. You got to go out, round them up. Oh, no. Yeah, they're standing in line waiting to be milked because they want it, because it's pleasurable, or like taking off tight shoes or stuff.
Well, my mother actually said that, you know, when she was nursing us, that she was ready to get rid of that milk sometimes.
Yeah, yeah,
too.
Right, exactly.
So it can be painful for the girls. I love her breathing.
This has been Earth Eats with Chef Daniel Orr. This episode was produced by WFIU Public Media from Indiana University. You can find photos of Chef Orr visiting with Jeff Meese and Myrtle the Water Buffalo on our website. Visit us online at wfiu.org/EarthEats. Until next week, try not to turn tail and run. I'm Annie Corrigan.